My name is Brandy Miklas. I'm 40 years old. Today's date is Friday, January 28th, 2022. We're in Tampa, Florida. The name of my interview partner is Jackson McQuigg, and Jackson is one of my dear friends and fellow volunteer board members.
My name is Jackson McQuigg. I am 51 years old. Today's date is Friday, January 28, 2022. We're in Tampa, Florida. I am with Brandy Miklas, who is a dear friend and a colleague on the Board of Friends of Tampa Union Station, a nonprofit group here in Tampa. So, Brandy.
Jackson.
What motivated you to join Friends of Tampa Union Station as a board member? And what is Tampa Union Station?
Well, there was a little bit of motivation, but I have to say it was being voluntold by a dear friend named Evan Johnson, who was a previous board member.
Right.
Someone that also lives in Tampa, who went to school with me. And he said, Brandy, I know you like helping people out. And I know you like transportation. I think you might be a really good addition to the Friends of Tampa Union Station board. And this is in 2014.
My goodness.
And I said, oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah. And I had no idea that like seven, almost 8 years later, I would be president for more than just a couple years. Now it's almost been 4 or 5.
I think you're president for life at this point.
President for life. Yeah. And yeah, so it was, it's Evan's fault.
Was Evan president of Friends of Tampa Union Station at that time?
Evan was president at the time, yes.
So, of course, we're talking about our favorite historic building in downtown Tampa, historic Tampa Union Station, constructed in 1912. By the Tampa Northern, Seaboard Airline, and Atlantic Coastline Railroads to share facilities in a single station. It was a big deal for Tampa in 1912.
Oh, yeah.
And the fun thing is where we're sitting now is near the site of one of the old train stations that was replaced by Tampa Union Station.
It's crazy. So Tampa Union Station has such a rich and rich history, but that doesn't do it justice.
I would say it has a rich history and a powerful history.
Yeah.
When you think that that building that still stands and it's still an active train station was a site of where people left Tampa, where people that grew up here left Tampa to go to war, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, even Vietnam to a certain extent. And, some of those folks didn't come back. It was a site of like airports are or any other major public building. It's a site where families were torn apart and reunited all at once. It's just astounding to me to be a part of our organization and to help preserve the history of that building.
I know. I completely agree. And I love how Tampa Union Station is one of Tampa's doorways, front doors.
Yeah.
One of our gateways. And I was thinking about what you said this morning when you were speaking to that crowd at Cafe Con Tampa, when you were talking about the future of Tampa Union Station and how you started with saying that everyone has a story to tell with Tampa Union Station.
Yeah.
Like a story, everyone has a train story.
Of course.
Or traveling on a train. It could be in the United States. It could be in Europe. Could be who knows where. And I loved you opening with that. Jackson, what's your story? How are you connected to Tampa Union Station?
So I think what I said this morning was, what's your Tampa Union Station story? And that sounds silly and fun all at once. And so my story is this. For some reason, I was bitten by a bug that made me a little railroad buff at a very young age. And my parents tell me that I was asking to go on a train ride from Tampa to anywhere when I was quite young. And so as a result, there are some Super 8 home movies from, I think, 1973. I would have been 2, in a box in my basement. These movies were taken by my dad. And it shows my mom and I and my dad taking the train from Tampa to Orlando. And I guess that's where you know, I mean, a lot of little boys in particular are interested in trains. But I guess I never grew up in that regard. And so that's why I've been involved over there for so many years. And, gosh, in later life, I remember going to that station in 1984. And the ticket office had moved out of the main building and had been set up in a prefabricated building next to the tracks. And I remember thinking, boy, the old building's in terrible condition. And, well, they might ought to just tear it down. It looks like it's about ready to meet its end. Little did I know that, you know, for the next 30, 40 years, I would be involved in its preservation. And I still am today. The preservation of the station, not the prefabricated building, which is long gone, of course, along with my dad. And that's really meaningful.
Yeah, I never actually really got to have a conversation with your dad, with John McQuigg. Yeah. I really wish I had. Like, I would have probably, I don't know, I think maybe he would have talked my ears off, even though I can talk anyone's ears off. If your dad was here right now, what do you think he'd be saying?
I think my father would be saying, Tampa's an amazing place. He would be proud of the fact that it is very different than the Tampa he moved to in 1960 as a young attorney. Tampa in 1960 was a gateway to vacations. It was, but it was also sort of a town that had limitless possibilities or unlimited potential, to put it politely. You know, those were the times when Tampa had a water tower that was painted like an early times. I think that's a Scotch, brand.
Yeah.
It looked like a liquor bottle. It was a port town, as it is today, and there hadn't been a lot of development between the end of since the 20s. At that time, Tampa was sort of stagnant. He told me that his job interview was at the Hotel Florida Inn when it was still one of the nicest hotels in town, and this 1960 was a different world. The primary business district was downtown. The primary shopping district was downtown too, and of course, being in the South, it was a segregated city back then as well. And so, it was, I think, a grittier place to be than it is today. I think he'd be very proud of the fact that the city has evolved so much in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. Of course, we lost him in June of 2019, and by that time, he probably wasn't the best of conversationalists at 87, but, you know, his heart was always in Tampa and in historic preservation, as was my mother's. So my mother was a big preservationist as well, and she was a Tampa native, so he wasn't, but she graduated from Hillsborough High School and everything. So I've got generation after generation of Tampa on my mom's side. And in fact, Brandy, I don't know if I've ever told you, but I have had two great uncles who worked for the Seaboard Airline Railroad out of Tampa Union Station. And one of them was named Ralph Duke, and the other one was Worth Duke. And I only met Ralph. They were just about gone when I was young. Never met my grandfather, who was a machinist at the Tampa shipyard.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, it's neat to have that sort of continuum and those links to that building that now you and I are on the board of, and, of course, you lead. So just fascinating.
Well, Jackson, you inspire me. Like, every once in a while I get a little frustrated because life throws challenges your way. And for me, I'll say it from, like, me personally, and it's challenging to be a volunteer and to keep up the drum beat and to make forward progress when we don't find ourselves with a lot of support. However, I feel like that has been changing over the past 2 or 3 years, more so than ever before. And when I get frustrated, I think about you.
Well, I think about you when I get frustrated. Your leadership has been one of the things that has changed the whole dynamic over there. And not only your leadership with Friends of Tampa Union Station, but the fact that you're with the city, you know people, you engage with them, and nobody can say no to you. That's the other fun thing that I've noticed, is that you will engage with people, and they'll say, oh, of course, Brandy. And, you know, whereas if I ask for anything, it's like, what? So, I mean, I think that's just the greatest.
No, you're being modest.
You inspire me as well. I think that, you know, in so many ways, I am still the little kid who likes trains. And you almost get to be a little bit embarrassed by the fact that, you know, you're still the kid who likes trains, and you're trying to sell the idea of the importance of rail travel and the romance of rail travel. And
romance of rail travel. And exactly.
And the importance of the history of all of the people that worked there. You know, that was an economic engine for our city. And I feel like we're keeping the torch lit for everyone that worked there and their families. And for the future, too. I mean, we sure hope that future rail services continue to use that facility. But it's just amazing to me that it still exists.
I know. When I was invited to a friend's wedding last year and I found out it was in West Palm, I got so excited because I said, I'm going to take the train.
Ha.
And then when I realized I was going to a conference in Miami in August, I was like, I'm going to take the train. And then I had an invite to go to a show in between Christmas and New Year's in Fort Lauderdale. What did I do?
I took the train.
And it is. It's funny. I didn't grow up. I mean, I grew up a tomboy. I was outside. I was always just, maybe it's because I grew up only child and it was just more fun to entertain myself outside than inside. But I did not get bit by the train or the rail bug until I studied in Spain. And
really?
That was 20 years ago. And I lived in Valencia.
Yeah.
And I was there for 4 months. And I took all modes of transit, including the train. We took a train to Barcelona.
Yeah.
We went to the Basque region and so, like, that's where my train story began. And then I realized when I was only there for 4 months. When I was back in the States, I thought, oh, I'm going to try to use this more and more. Like, this is going to be an option that I always consider. It may not be one that I can always do. And so I hope, you know, when you spoke this morning talking about how we only have one train right now that goes north. Sorry, we have a daily train that goes from Tampa up to New York. And we have a daily train that also goes from Tampa down to Miami. So
right.
We have a northbound and a southbound every day. Wouldn't it be great, fast forward 10 years, and Amtrak is able to implement their vision, and we have four trains a day going north, three trains or four trains going south, and people start using it, and it's like what I was saying, it's not an afterthought. It's something that they consider, and it's just part of Tampa's fabric, like it was in the beginning.
Well, Tampa seems to lag behind the rest of the state, the rest of the major cities of the state always. In addition to the early times bottle, by the way, Tampa once had three rotating giant Schlitz beer cans right next to a city hall as an advertising display. So, you know, sometimes it acts like a one-horse town. And I think if you look around the state, there are so many cities in the state that are in Tampa's orbit, so to speak, that have so much more rail service. Like West Palm Beach has 50 plus trains a day. They've got Tri-Rail, which is a commuter service. They have Amtrak, and they also have Brightline service, the new Brightline service, and two stations. And you know, Jacksonville even has, typically they have four trains a day. Savannah has six, just across the Florida border. And Orlando has commuter rail, SunRail. Mm-hmm. So for our region, we're always, and we always have lagged behind the rest of the state, and kind of, we'll call Savannah and our region as well, mm-hmm. but other areas because of I don't know, like a lack of vision. One of the interesting conversations now about Brightline, which is a private commuter rail service, well, not really commuter, regional rail, let's call it, is that everyone seems to think we could have Brightline or Amtrak and nothing else. And it's like, no, we're good enough. We're as good as San Diego. Mm-hmm. We're as good as Los Angeles. We're as good as all sorts of other places. And we can have many different types of rail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can all happen. And we deserve it as a city. And I think that's something that really sort of engage with and take to heart. And our leaders have got to engage with that as well.
It's true. It's true. You know, I was thinking about how, so my role at the City of Tampa, I work in infrastructure and mobility. So I'm always fascinated with some of the innovative things that we're testing out, some pilots that we're doing, or we're looking at things that could have worked in other cities, and we can learn from them because we're so far behind, we're ahead in some ways.
Right.
And one example that I was thinking about when you were talking is we're like this mid-sized city, we're making big city moves, and our development is just crazy right now. There's just so much going on in downtown and the urban core. But there's also a resurgence where more of a attention to preservation as well. And preservation, I once read by a very smart woman named Stephanie Farrell, yeah, that said, preservation is a form of development. It's actually one of the best forms of development because it brings the community together.
Stephanie Farrell was one of my heroes growing up. She's an architect, a preservation architect here in Tampa. And I got to know her when she led the Tampa Hillsborough County Historic Preservation Board, an organization that no longer exists, but did a lot of really great work. And she was heavily involved in the Union Station restoration in the 90s. So it, yeah, she's neat, but she's absolutely right. Preservation is development, you know, just because it seems like Sunbelt cities, of which Tampa is one, of course, try to throw off the past when they bring in the new, and they'll tear down historic buildings to put up new ones. And the reality is that you don't have to do that. And doing that is sort of an immature city move. You know, it's not like you have to turn your back on the past to develop new buildings. They should coexist, and truly, mm-hmm, great cities, places like New York and Boston and Lisbon and some of the other just cities around the world that you can think of. My gosh, they have the old and the new. Mm-hmm. And in the Sun Belt, we've tended not to do that. I think that mindset is changing here. The thing about it is that it was almost too late. Mm-hmm. So many of the buildings in Tampa, particularly in downtown, were just destroyed. You know, Tampa tore down its old Hillsborough County Courthouse, which was a beautiful courthouse, and replaced it with a god-awful, ugly building in the 50s that looks like a inverted shoebox. And I was so pleased to see the other day that a building where my dad worked, which is mid-century modern, it was built as the first federal building. I think it's on Madison. Anyway, it was later called Freedom Savings, and now I think it's apartments for students. There's a CVS in the bottom. Do you know the building I'm talking about?
Yeah. Are you talking about the one across from the station in Channel District?
No, it's right here near Likes Gaslight Square.
Right off of Franklin.
Was a building site.
Got it.
Likes Gaslight Square was the old First National Bank of Tampa building that got leveled. long story there. That was a tough loss. But the old First Federal Building is now a landmark as a mid-century modern. And to me, that's just like great because it shows that preservation didn't end with buildings built in the 20s and the 30s and is continuing to the, you know, into the modern era. Yeah. But I think about the neighborhoods that we've lost. You know, you think about the Scrub, the historically, in Central Avenue, the historically African-American districts that are not far from the station. Think about the whole railroad row that was across from Tampa Union Station. They're just about all gone. The only thing left is the Jackson House, which is, you know, the boarding house there where, where people like Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald stayed. And it's just hanging on by a thread. And we always hear that it's going to be restored. But and I know they're working hard on it, but they better hurry up.
I know.
So I think Tampa is still talking a good game, but really needs to follow through. And the follow-through is something that I'll be looking for and working to encourage, I think. Yeah. How about you?
Well, I think you, what your story this morning, at it informed people who were already sort of in the know. They knew Tampa Union Station exists because some people don't even know that it exists because it's in, you know, the kind of corner of northeast downtown Tampa.
Right.
It's not in an area that has gotten a lot of attention, but of late, there is a lot going on. And it made me think Tampa Union Station is now 110 years old, and it's still operating in the same purpose and function of its beginnings of 1912.
Yeah.
You know, and it made me think of, like, there's not a lot of examples of that. I mean, Tampa Theater is actually a pretty good example of that. It's not as old as Tampa Union Station, and it's a little more centrally located. But I was just thinking about how there aren't a lot of examples, and so we're very unique in that way. And then our friends of Tampa Union Station, our nonprofit, we are essentially about preserving the past to ensure the future.
Absolutely.
I love that. Like, I don't know if that was something that you came up with or if this is like a long-time motto. I love it. And I was just thinking about the future of the station and some of the things we've been talking about recently about how we might be able to, you know, of course, first and foremost, passenger rail service, having it be a functioning train station, but then also having it be a destination for locals to maybe come and have a coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe plug in their laptop and work for a few hours in a co-work space. Or maybe the front lawn, the great lawn, the historic lawn, part of the station's history. Maybe there's some pop-up bazaars or some indie fleas, something to activate the station in different ways. And I'm so excited for what the future holds for the station. I know we still have a long way to get there, but people are aware and they're talking about it. What do you think about the future?
Well, I'm optimistic, but I think we have to keep the momentum going. And that's a big thing. And you know, preservation almost always comes down to ordinary people making big moves and letting other folks get the credit. So I think about the Tampa Theater that you mentioned. It was almost lost. It was in real danger of demolition, and the city got together with community members. And I know there was a guy on city council, Lee Duncan, that played a big part in preserving that building. And now it's become an icon of Tampa. But Tampa Bay Hotel has been preserved, the old Railroad Hotel on Kennedy, not so far from us. But I think there's a tendency for people to think about preservation that that's good enough. We've saved one of these and one of those, and everything else can be torn down. And so I'm happy that we've preserved the station. We have a lot of work to do. I mean, it very nearly got demolished. And even though the city's owned it for the past 24 years, it has serious issues right now, rotting windows and supposedly some termites in part of the building. And
yeah, it is Tampa.
Yeah, so we have to, and it's ironic that it's left on a bunch of ordinary people again, just like the grassroots effort that got it preserved in the 90s, to raise the money to fix these issues. And I never thought I'd be in this position. This was a position that my father and his group and people like Stephanie Farrell and Jim Shepard and Lynn Tria and some of the others involved in the 90s, my gosh, Jan Abel, mm-hmm. Harriet Plyler, Francis Cruz, all these people that came together, Jim Herron, to preserve the station. I was a kid, and they were the adults. And you know what, Brandy? Now I'm one of the adults, and some of them are gone, too many of them, or they're old. And, it now falls to us to preserve that building yet again. I never thought I'd be in that position.
Well, we are making improvements to one part of the station that's historic. It's the historic baggage building. I was thinking about how we're renovating that to open it up for potential event space. It's, needed new windows, doesn't have any fire protection because it, didn't have those kind of codes back then.
Right.
And I was thinking about one of the things that I don't know if you said it, or if I just heard it and I thought it was funny, but I also thought it would catch people's attention, and I still think it's true, that Tampa Union Station is the oldest thing in Tampa that's still looking for a sugar daddy.
I don't know if I said it, but I'd like to take credit for that.
You're pretty funny. Well, I probably stole it from you.
Well, we definitely still need a sugar daddy. That's for sure. And, I would think that we need more than one.
Right.
That's the fun thing about the Tampa Theater is they can do preservation all day long because they have shows and people connect with it because it's such a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And we have trains, and trains are cool, but then when people take the train and they have a bad experience, they blame the station. And then people are also kind of a little bit taken aback. Well, why would I get excited about the Amtrak station? And I think that's why we have to come up with more reasons for them to bond to the building. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm really excited about, and it's kind of funny, is Councilman Bill Carlson's concept of doing a statue or statues at the station commemorating the families that and the veterans that use that station as a portal for leaving and, more importantly, coming home. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be really powerful because so many people, came home. Some didn't. Mm-hmm. But, gosh, reuniting with families after war, mm-hmm. there's a photograph that sort of haunts me of a large group of men going to a WPA camp. Actually, they were headed to Fort Benning, and then they were going to work in, this is during the Depression, of course, and they were going to work in, they're all jobless, and they're all Tampa, and men of Tampa, and you look at their faces, and they just, you could tell they're upset because they're having to leave home and take this job that they can do. Mm-hmm. Because in the Depression, there weren't any jobs. I mean, the last time we wore face masks, Tampa Union Station was there. It survived the devastating hurricane of 1921. I mean, it's a continuum and a world that's really changing. And we almost lost it in the 1990s. It just really is amazing to me that it still exists. And without the grassroots effort that took place then, it would have gotten leveled, I think. And so, I'm very pleased to have played a small part in that. And pleased to have written a book about the building.
Jackson, you did. You literally wrote the book on Tampa Union Station.
Well, somebody had to do it for free. Somebody had to do it for free, right? Now, and it's second. It was fun to put the second edition together and see pictures of, the Wohl family headed off to see Al Lopez of the Cleveland Indians, native son Al Lopez. What other place in town? We've got the West Tampa history, the Italian history, the Hispanic heritage. You name it. What your background is, African American, and your family, if they settled in Tampa, more than likely passed through that station, and it became a jumping off point for a new life, and that's really cool. And so, I think we have the responsibility to tell all of those stories. And do it in a place where the building continues to function and serve its intended original purpose. I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of a glorious burden, right? It's a lot of work. We don't get paid for it. It's really hard with me living in Atlanta to do my thing, but it's just fantastic. It's really meaningful work to me.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't meaningful. And you being the champion that you are and an igniting passion in people who already had, I think, and I'm talking about like the room this morning when you presented to talk about Tampa Union Station and the future and like what it's been through. I've been to many events at Cafe Con Tampa and they're excellent. And I feel maybe it was because I'm just so personally involved and connected to this, but I felt like people stuck around longer than I've ever seen before. They usually are like, get out. We can't stay in this room much longer. And I was just really impressed of the conversations that were held. And it wasn't just say, that's really cool. I didn't know about that. It was none of those comments. It was, I was so excited, where I am so impressed to hear that. I want to help you do more. Where here's my card, and this is how I can play a role. There was not a like, oh, I've never heard of this kind of conversation. And so I think things are happening, things are clicking, conversations and connections are going to be held over the next few days, weeks, months, and then I would love to come back in like 10 or 15 years and do this all over again.
Well, let's hope. We've got to keep the momentum going, and that's going to be a challenge, I think, because it will require a lot of strength on our mm-hmm. parts. And we're going to have to engage others, and they may not agree with us. We may not agree with them, but yeah. I think there's a lot of opportunity here. You know, but I want to say the thing that is also very meaningful to me is some of the best friends I've ever made, including you, I made through participating at that station. Or being involved in that station. And I can't imagine not knowing people like this, not knowing you. I can't imagine not knowing you. I can't imagine not knowing Steve-O or Steve Sales or Jim Langston, but the really special ones mm-hmm. like you. Oh, my God, Brandy, you know, that's just a tremendous, tremendous gift to me. And so I've spent a career in historic preservation and public history so far. I'm at 51. It's still going on. And I think as a kid in high school, hanging around the station and working alongside my dad and others like Stephanie Farrell and Jim Shepard and all these wonderful people that I got to know helped propel me into a career that has hopefully done some good.
You always sign off our phone calls with "do good."
I thought it was "be good," actually.
Oh,
do good sounds
right.
Great.
I think it's because you always think that I might be getting into trouble in Tampa.
I sure hope so.
Always good trouble, though. No, but that's true. And you, well, okay. So yes, you do. You say "be good." I was thinking about what you were saying, though, and you have done so much good. You and your dad, all the names we've mentioned, it is a tremendous amount of your own time and money and resources
a lot
and
of money.
Effort. And you have brought a lot of people to Tampa Union Station, and they've become, and I'm going to use this not because it's our nonprofit name, friends of the station. I really do believe that.
Well, remember, if not you, who, right?
True.
So you never want to ask anybody to do something that you wouldn't do yourself, in my view.
Yeah.
No matter the situation. And in reality, that's what it's about, you know, here as well. So might as well get your fingers in the pie.
Yeah. It's fun.
Absolutely.
Why not?
So, well, I've enjoyed sitting down here with you and talking about all this today.
Are you glad I signed us up for this?
I am very glad. I am very glad. It's a wonderful cap to a fantastic day.
Oh,
thank you, Brandy.
Thank you, Jackson.